This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
When you listen to Ask Me Another, you're making a choice. You're choosing to invest your time and trust in a show that's going to keep you entertained, informed, and full of more icebreakers than you have cocktail parties to attend. And you know what the best part is? Our fun facts are quadruple-checked for accuracy. That's right, by more than one person. This is NPR, after all. So the next time you tell someone, hey, you know koalas have fingerprints just like people do? You can breathe easy knowing that you have your facts straight. So help keep our games honest and our fact bag full by donating to your local NPR station today. We can't do the work without your help. Visit donate.npr.org/AMA to support your public radio station. And thanks.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the historic Balboa Theater in beautiful San Diego, California, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Welcome. Oh my God, this is amazing. We are super psyched to be here. We are super psyched just to be in San Diego, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a nice change. It's a nice change from New York, I gotta tell you. And this is a very special episode. We are calling this a California Christmas. Yeah. And for our listeners who don't know, a California Christmas is pretty much like a regular Christmas, but you decorate your tree animal style. Right? Everyone argues over who gets to put the double-double on the top of the tree. And you know it's over when you have that bittersweet moment of just vacuuming grilled onion bits from your rug. It's all over. So you have kids. Do you do a little Christmas?
Yeah, we do Christmas.
You do Christmas with the kids? That's nice.
We don't withhold it from them, yeah.
Do you do the elf on the shelf thing?
I can't stand the elf on a shelf.
Really? Yeah.
Somebody sent me the elf on a shelf and was like, oh, do this with the kids, it'll be fun. And then I read about it. I mean, it's creepy. It's a doll that gets up and walks around your house at night. I don't like that. Also, it just sits there and watches you the whole time?
That's the idea, right?
It's like a spy camera. I don't want my children to be under surveillance at all times.
Right. And like, supposed to put them on edge a little bit? Are they being nice?
I don't care for it.
Yeah. So it's popular, and they don't want Jewish kids to be left out, so they've made a mensch on a bench. Seriously. And it's just an old guy. Not as cute as an elf. I'm just going to say that right now. It's an old guy on a bench that watches you.
He's just barely paying attention, too. He doesn't,
yeah, exactly.
Doesn't know what's going on.
Not in my house. At my house, we have an Ativan on an ottoman. That's how we celebrate. So we have two amazing guests on the show. We have American Idol alum Adam Lambert. And we have skateboarding legend Tony Hawk. And I know what you're saying. What a natural combination. Together at last. Together at last. Both San Diego natives. Yeah. I know. You guys produce a lot of good things. Produce a lot of good things. Have you played any of Tony Hawk's video games?
I have, yeah. I've played one of the skateboarding games, yeah.
Yeah? How'd you do?
Terribly.
Terribly?
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah. The first
just
one,
like real skateboarding.
Just like really, right. It's super hard. Yeah, the first one is called Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and it inspired me. I actually have a video game in development. It's called Ophira Eisenberg Procrastinator. And you get to maneuver your mini Ophira around the streets of New York and collect coins. If you get enough, you get to do a load of laundry. Yeah. Oh, no, you let your Ophira drink 4 glasses of wine. Oh, try to get those scissors out of her hands before she cuts her own bangs. All right, let's play some games, everybody. Our first game is about gifts. You know, they say it's the thought that counts, but why do we only say that when the gift sucks? Let's meet our contestants. First up, Tyler Parthamer. You're a community outreach coordinator, and you're currently reading your way through Agatha Christie novels.
Yes. So Hercule Poirot. So she's got, I think, 22 novels and then 122 short stories. So it comes out to 44 books. And I just started Curtain, which is the last one. So
and?
I love them all. I always try to guess who the murderer is, and that always just blows me away that these books were written back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, and I always think, oh, I can figure out who this is, and I think I've guessed one out of all the stories.
Yeah, so. That sounds so fun. When you ring in, we're going to hear this. Your opponent is Annie O'Reilly. You're a high school English teacher.
I am. Thank you.
You're a huge Thomas Pynchon fan, and every time you finish a book, you get a tattoo.
I do, yes.
Okay, so is...
This is named the Pynchon arm.
You have an arm that is called the Pynchon arm?
It's the Pynchon arm.
All right, let's describe one of the tattoos for our listeners.
Okay, on the top of my shoulder, I have a rainbow parabola ending in a V2 rocket. For Gravity's Rainbow, I've only read that 3 times, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good. That's fantastic. Annie, when you ring in, we'll hear this. All right, Tyler and Annie, whoever has more points after 2 games will go to our final round. This game is called Many Happy Returns. It's gift-giving season, but they all can't be winners. So we will describe a horrible gift that we made up. And your job is to rearrange its letters to turn it into a toy that is in the National Toy Hall of Fame. Okay, ring in to answer. Here we go. Make your rodent a furry hottie with some hot rat pomade, or shuffle the letters to get a tweakable tuber, the first toy advertised on TV. Annie.
Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, that's right. My favorite thing about Mr. Potato Head, he carries his wardrobe in his butt. Super convenient, right?
Absolutely.
And parts of his face.
Parts of his face. Right. Can change out his eyes. I got you a lemon-flavored Bluetooth gadget. It's a sour speaker, or you could trade it in for this water-shooting toy prototyped by a NASA engineer from a PVC pipe and a soda bottle. Tyler.
Super Soaker?
Yeah, that's right. I've been called a sour speaker. On the socials.
I made you a meat doll.
As you do.
He's called Sir Beef. But maybe you would rather toss around this toy, once marketed as the Pluto Platter. Tyler.
Frisbee.
Frisbee, you got it.
You'll have tons of fun with this action figure of a bewildered grandmother. It's EGAD Granny. But just in case, I save the gift receipt so you can trade for this doll with yarn hair and a stitched-on face. Annie.
Raggedy Ann.
Yeah, that's right.
You loved Ocean's 8, so I got you this board game called Go Female Thief. Or you could exchange it for this game about school, work, marriage, children, and retirement. Tyler.
The Game of Life.
Well done, that's right.
Nobody really likes that game, right?
I like that game.
Tyler, what do you like about it?
Just that your life follows a trajectory and you get to buy a house at one point, you know? It's all guaranteed, so I like that security.
All right, that was a great game. Tyler is in the lead. Our next game is about birds. Did you know that the Venn diagram of public radio listeners and bird watchers is just one big circle? In honor of winter and our avian-named guest, Tony Hawk, we have an audio quiz called Snowbirds. The answer to each clue is a bird that shares its name with a professional sports team that plays in the winter. I'll play you a clip of a bird from the Macaulay Library at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and read you a clue where we imagine what would happen if the bird attempted to play its associated sport. I know, there's a lot going on. The points are doubled. Tyler, stay in the lead, and you'll be in our final round. Annie, you need to get more points, or you have to explain any sport to any member of our staff.
Accepted.
All right, let's go to the NHL for your first clue. This bird has the unique advantage of having a 340-degree field of vision, which means it'll see getting checked into the glass coming a mile away from Anaheim. Tyler.
Ducks.
Yeah, those are ducks. That's what they are. You're right.
Those do not sound like ducks to me.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. They're a little whiny.
When we get done with this show, I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to the Macaulay Library at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. See if we can get to the bottom of this.
It will be their very first one,
yeah,
I'm quite sure. Next up. Benjamin Franklin didn't want this bird to be our national bird because these birds steal prey from other animals by chasing them down, just like they chased down the Patriots to win Super Bowl number 52. Annie.
Eagles.
That is correct. All right, next up.
I just want to say, birds are terrible.
This bird can hold up to 3 gallons of water and fish in its guller sack, so carrying that basketball to the hoop for New Orleans should be no problem. Tyler.
Pelicans.
Yeah, those are pelicans. All right, this is your last clue. Sounds friendly.
No, it sounds monstrous.
This Antarctic bird can only taste sour and salty flavors, so it won't be sidelined by some mediocre nachos at the PPG Paints Arena. Tyler.
Penguins.
Yeah, that's a penguin. You're right. All right. Amazing. Thank you so much. You're both fantastic. After 2 games, Tyler is going to our final round. Coming up, we'll find out who will face off against Tyler in our final round. And Adam Lambert is here, so get ready, Glamberts and Glam Ernies. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. Selling your car? Visit Carvana and enter your license plate or VIN. Answer a few quick questions and you can get a real offer in seconds. When you finalize your offer, Carvana will pick it up so you never have to leave the comfort of home. Visit Carvana.com or download the app.
A former president found guilty while running for re-election. For a story this big, one podcast is not enough. Here at NPR, we've got you covered from every angle. You can get the news as it happens and legal analysis on the podcast Trump's Trials. For all the latest on what it means for the 2024 election, head on over to the NPR Politics Podcast. Find Trump's Trials and the NPR Politics Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia, coming to you from San Diego. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Today's episode is a California Christmas. And it's time to welcome our first special guest. He started his career on American Idol, where he sang Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody in his first audition. Now he tours as the frontman for the band Queen. Please welcome Adam Lambert. Adam, truly an honor to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
And welcome home.
Thank you. San Diego.
Yeah.
Hometown.
You know, as a little kid, from what I've read, you always wanted to be a performer. You had that bug in you immediately. And you said in an interview with RuPaul that as a kid you did sheet drag. What is sheet drag?
It's taking your bed sheets and making a garment out of your bed sheets, notably a strapless gown, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Or a cape or palazzo pants. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot you can do with one giant piece of fabric.
Yeah.
And of course, mine, when I was a teenager, was leopard print, which was really a... I mean, who doesn't love leopard
That's
print?
That's perfect.
Timeless pattern.
That was your sheet on your bed?
Yeah, it was like a snow leopard or something.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So most of the world met you through American Idol. And, you know, it was American Idol. You had a chance to watch it before you auditioned.
I was a big fan.
Yeah. You were a big fan?
Yeah.
So, but when you decided to audition, I mean, like, what was going through your head?
Don't mess it up. I mean, I was really nervous because I knew the weight of it. You know, I knew, like, that this was something that could potentially change everything.
Sure.
And I was, like, ready for the next chapter.
Yeah.
So I said, why not? Let's try it. And having watched the show for so many years, I kind of had figured out what the game was at that point.
What was the game?
Well, the producers kind of pick a final top 12 or 13, it was on my season, and each person kind of has their own wheelhouse or their own demographic or genre of music. And I realized, I'm like, oh, I'm the rocker. That's where they've put me.
Yep.
In fact, when I got to the audition, the first thing I sang in front of the judges was a Michael Jackson song. And they all looked at me like, confused, you know?
Right, King of Pop.
And I knew I was like, well, I can do anything that you want. What else do you want? What do you want to hear? And they're like, well, what else do you have? And I'm like, how about Bohemian Rhapsody? And a light bulb, I could see it go off on top of all their heads. I went, yes! And so when I sang that...
You just pulled that out?
Right out, yeah.
When was the last time that you would, like, practice that song or sing it?
I had it on deck.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's pretty great, though.
The producers knew that was sort of my backup choice.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So after American Idol, you decide to come out to the world on the cover and in the pages of Rolling Stone magazine.
Hello!
With the... I mean, the result is that it was their highest-selling magazine of 2009.
Wow.
Did you feel a lot of pressure at the time to be the new gay poster boy?
It was so strange to
me
because I came out to my family and to all my friends when I was 18.
Right.
And then through my early 20s, I was doing theater in L.A. I was with lots of queer people. I was doing musicals, I was performing in clubs, I was dressing up, I was going out. I was like, yeah, this is me. I knew that. And I had no hang-ups. My family was really supportive, and I was in an industry that supported it. Then on Idol, right before Idol started, there were all these pictures that came out. And it was me, like, kissing an ex-boyfriend, and so, oh, God, what are we going to do? The blog started writing about it. And I got asked on the carpet, like, so, we see these pictures of you. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. I'm kissing a dude. And, you know, to me at the time, I was looking at it from my point of view. I didn't have the knowledge or the experience yet to really see it as the public looking at me. So I do the whole competition, and once you start the competition, you cannot talk to the press at all. Or at least that's how it was when I was on the show. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it was like, okay, let me focus on the task at hand here, which is singing. And so then at the end of the show, when we could talk to the press again, all of a sudden it was a big topic. And I was mixed with total intimidation and fear of that idea, excitement about, wow, this could be a big deal for more than just me, for many people. And that's when, at the end of the competition, we were like, let's do this the right way. Let's save it for a publication that we know will cover this the right way, fairly, and very in a very liberal light.
Right.
And, yeah. And totally got me.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you get offered to be the front man for Queen.
Yeah.
You met the band on set on American Idol.
Yes, I did. I met the band doing the finale. They were invited, and we sang We're the Champions.
Yeah.
We all kind of looked at each other, and there was something good in the air, some good vibes. And then the rest all happened. I walked away, and I released my first album. And then Queen came a-calling and said, hey, we have this thing. We're doing the MTV EMAs.
Right.
And we're doing a medley. You want to sing it? And I was like, yeah.
You know, you're stepping in Freddie Mercury's shoes. So what was your approach of like, I need to pay homage, obviously, to this front
big
man?
Big shoes.
Yeah, right.
I wore heels, you know. I was like, big shoes to fill? Yeah, damn big right. Shoes. These are big.
But you still want to be yourself, obviously.
Yeah. That was the most important thing. And in talking to Brian May and Roger Taylor,
yeah,
it became really obvious to me very quickly, we're not looking for an imitator.
That's
we do
good.
Not want an impersonation of Freddie. That would be tacky.
Totally.
You know, and like they wouldn't feel comfortable with that. I remember going to the first rehearsal with them, and I'm like, well, guys, you just tell me what you want and where to stand and what note to hit and how to do it and whatever, what to wear. And they were like, no, what do you want to do? Which, from the get-go, was the biggest blessing. They made me feel very comfortable, and they made me feel like it was really a collaboration.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's evolved, which has been so exciting. When we started 6 years ago together, it was me getting up there really nervous, doing the best I could. But that's what's been so great is that we've gotten to evolve together as a unit. And we can look at each other now on stage and have like shorthand just with a look. And know, oh, we're going to repeat that part. Oh, I didn't sing that right lyric. They know. I know. They don't know. Cool, we're good. Yeah. Yeah.
Keep going.
Now it feels like it's in my body, which is so cool to be able to get on stage and still have that freedom.
Yeah, no, that's the best feeling of all time. All right, Adam Lambert, are you ready for your Ask Me Another challenge?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. All right, so in 2009, you were on the cover of Rolling Stone. It was the highest selling issue of that year. So in honor of that, we're going to describe other people who were also on Rolling Stone's cover in 2009. And remember, they are not all musicians.
Right.
Yes.
I'm not going to know any of them.
And if you do well enough, Patty Humphreys from Camarillo, California, was going to win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Here we go. This artist was described by Rolling Stone as being a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll, and all control freak. She graced the cover for the first time in March of 2009. 6 months later, Kanye West interrupted her speech at the VMAs.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks for the Kanye.
No problem.
The Kanye effect.
Okay, at one point, this Twilight star was the highest paid teenage actor in Hollywood. Team Jacob fans rejoiced when he graced...
Taylor Lautner?
Yes! This Colombian singer says she taught herself English by listening to Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan. She made waves with her 2009 release, She-Wolf.
Shakira!
That's right. That's right.
Oh, I like this game now.
Yeah, because you're doing great. I didn't even have to finish it. I was going to finish it with Her Hips Don't Lie, but you didn't need it.
No.
No.
They didn't.
This is your final question. This band's frontman once described you, Adam Lambert, as pretty badass for hitting high notes. He appeared on the cover with bandmates Mike Dirnt and Trey Cool promoting their rock opera album, 21st Century Breakdown. Okay. Does American Idiot mean anything?
Oh, Green Day.
That's right. That is correct. You are right.
Sorry. He was like one of like 12 other guys that were wearing guyliner in 2009. coined guyliner.
That's right. Guyliner.
It's eyeliner.
I know, it's just eyeliner.
It's just eyeliner.
I have to do that to everything, right? Well, congratulations, Adam. You got them all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you won a Rubik's Cube for listener Patty Humphreys.
Yay!
Give it up for Adam Lambert, everybody. You can catch Adam and Queen in 2019 performing all across North America. Adam Lambert, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Next, we'll play a game where we give holiday songs a SoCal twist. I imagine the holidays in California just being much more chill, not just because you're all surfers and yogis, just because of all the legal weed. Let's meet our contestants. First up, Angela Estes. You're a cake decorator.
I am. Hi,
so,
Vera.
Hi. So I imagine people, when they ask you to make a cake for them, they must ask for some things that defy baking laws of nature.
They can, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is the one of the more elaborate things you've been asked to accomplish?
One of the more interesting ones was a cake that looked like an overhead projector. So like a vintage projector. It was actually for their wedding.
For their wedding?
Yeah. It was two teachers.
Ah, yes. Okay.
So they had... Yeah.
It's cute.
They had a school-themed wedding, and so they said, just go wild. And so I proposed this last, thinking it was just too crazy, and then they chose that one.
That is amazing. All right. So when you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Sophie Wasserman. You're a STEM education specialist at the San Diego Air and Space Museum. Very cool.
I am. Thank you.
So you're building rockets and rovers and robots for pre-K to 8th grade students. So what kind of robots are you building?
We work our way up to BattleBots, which is my absolute favorite thing to do. Yeah. So first they learn how to move, then they learn how to scribble with some markers, and then finally they fight each other to the death.
Okay, good. Yeah.
The robots, not the kids.
Both.
Okay.
Sophie, when you ring in, we'll hear this. Remember, Angela and Sophie, whoever has more points after two games will move on to our final round. Let's go to your first game. This game is called San Diego Holy Night. Jonathan Colton, take it away.
We rewrote public domain holiday songs to make them about things associated with San Diego. Ring in and tell us what I'm singing about, and if you're correct, you can earn a bonus point by identifying the original song. Here we go. There are all kinds of fauna here in Balboa Park, Bayoun and Sun. Absolutely apes, monkey trails, polar bear plunge, and the outback California. Angela.
The San Diego Zoo.
That's right. And for a bonus point, can you identify the song?
It is... On the first day of Christmas, my true...
Is that the title?
Mm-hmm. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me?
It's a very long title, and it's not the title of the song, I'm afraid. It's actually called The 12 Days of Christmas.
12 Days of Christmas.
But I like that you went with what you know. You
Thank
were like,
you.
I know the first line.
Thank you.
That's what I'm going with.
Is it called 12 Drummers Drumming, 11 Pipers Piping, 10 Daddies Dancing, 9 Ladies...
The only part...
I screwed it up. I couldn't remember them
no,
all.
The only one anyone knows is five gold. Yeah, like, everyone's like, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah,
five gold.
That's right. Should you see lots of ships and boats at 32nd Street, you've reached the principal home port of our dear Pacific Fleet. Angela?
Naval Base San Diego.
Yeah, that's right. Naval Base San Diego. And can you identify the song for a bonus point?
Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, that's right. Auld Lang Syne.
Sign.
There is a lovely beach town where lots of golf they play, and on its rugged coastline these pinnipeds will lay. They're lounging, they're either brown or gray, and though they're fun to look at, they really smell like poop. Angela.
It's where the sea lions are, and it's called Sea Lion Seal Beach. Sea Lion.
Angela, I'm gotta sorry, say, I as a contestant, I appreciate your attack.
No, it's great.
It's great. It's what we want.
That's how you do it.
Yep.
But I'm afraid I can't accept that. Sophie, do you know the answer?
La Jolla Cove? Or La Jolla?
Yeah, that's right. That's what we're looking for. La Jolla, the La Jolla Seals and Sea Lions. Can you identify the original song?
Dreidel, 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 dreidel.
Sorry, I don't think I can accept that. Dreidel, 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 dreidel. It's a good guess.
It's made of clay and giant ready and...
Just keep saying all the words. You'll get to it eventually. It's called I Have a Little Dreidel.
Yeah, it was actually the first line in
this
case.
The first one, which is Angela's strategy from the last one, which would have worked. The first ever European, the first ever European, the first ever European to visit this state. Point Loma is where his statue is seen. His name is on high schools. He died of gangrene. Angela.
El Cortez.
No, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Angela, Sophie, do you know the answer?
It's the Cabrillo National Monument?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo is what we're looking for. For a bonus point, can you identify the original song?
Good tidings for Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. Shangela, jujube, kimchi, shake, coulee, flase, da, no tea, no shade, in a lace front came to slay. Oh, contoured face, padded butt, girl worked that runway. She was born and raised right here, and she says, Shantae, you stay. Angela.
RuPaul's Drag Race.
RuPaul, that's correct.
RuPaul.
For a bonus point, can you name the song?
Jingle Bells.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, that was a boatload of fun. Angela, you are currently in the lead. If you intensely copy edit your family's annual holiday letter, you should be a contestant on our show. Go to amatickets.org. Coming up, Tony Hawk, pioneer of vertical skateboarding, will talk to me, Ophira Eisenberg, pioneer of horizontal napping. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
When you hear Birmingham, Alabama, you might think about the Civil Rights Movement, but maybe not about baseball. But as the oldest pro ballpark in America, Rickwood Field saw the struggle for freedom play out right there on the dirt and grass. I'm Roy Wood Jr. I grew up in Birmingham, and I'm going to tell you this whole story. Listen to Road to Rickwood from WWNO and WRKF, part of the NPR network.
The Embedded podcast brings you eye-opening reporting.
There's something that hasn't been disclosed yet.
Immersive journalism.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
Personal stories.
I was scared. Like, I can't protect you.
We are NPR's home for documentary storytelling. Find Embedded wherever you get your podcasts. Do you wish stories could unfold over 3 hours rather than 3 minutes? You tired of doomscrolling, trying to find humanity? Or maybe a deeper understanding of why the world is the way it is? Listen to Embedded, NPR's original documentary series. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another, coming to you from San Diego. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Today's show is themed a California Christmas. And before the break, we met our contestants, Angela and Sophie. Their next game is about holiday bummers. Here are some examples of holiday bummers. Being alone, being with family. Let's check in with our contestants. Angela, what's your favorite California holiday tradition?
Probably pretending like it's cold and getting all bundled up and going out.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Sophie, what's your favorite California tradition?
I mean, I holiday think tradition? Along those same lines, it's really fun to look at weather in other places and kind of laugh.
Okay, perfect. So basically, both of your holiday traditions are meteorology related. This is a word game called Unhappy Holiday. We're mashing up cheerful icons of the holiday season with things that are not happy. That's right.
For example, if we said, your aunt wasn't sure what to get you, so here's a plastic rectangle loaded with money. It only works at one store, so it's going to be very difficult to spend. You would answer, gift carduous, combining gift card and arduous.
Whoa.
I know, easy, right? The points are double. As a hint, the holiday term will always come first, and the depressing thing will always come second, just like in real life. Okay, here we go. Don't eat this spicy holiday treat and house building material, or you won't be able to sleep on this brutal overnight flight. Sophie.
Gingerbread eye?
Exactly! Gingerbread, red eye, gingerbread eye. It's also my Starbucks order.
Deck the halls with this picturesque red-berried vegetation that is also a parasite trying to implant itself in your skin and gorge on your blood. Angela.
Hall leech?
Hall leech, that's right. Holly
yeah.
And leech.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, there's the personification of winter weather, referenced in Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song, but he's having trouble nipping at your nose due to his severely diminished bone density.
Jack Frostioporosis.
Sophie, that is correct.
That's a fun one. That's
happy
a fun
holidays!
This shiny ball hanging from the tree is causing everything in the universe to gradually decline into death and disorder. Angela.
Ornamentropy?
Yeah, that's right. Ornament and entropy.
I love it when stuff like that just pops into your head, right? Just pops in. This is your last clue. Marshmallows and hot chocolate have an unhealthy relationship, just like you and your psychologically unstable partner who relies on you too much. Angela.
Cocoa dependent.
Yep, that is right. All right, two great games. And it looks like, Angela, you are going to our final round. It's time to meet our next special guest. Please welcome skateboarding legend, Tony Hawk.
What's up, San Diego? Thank you. This is cool.
Tony, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, thank you.
So when you first started skating, it was kind of a niche thing.
Absolutely. It was sort of on the way out of popularity from the late 70s.
Yeah,
and so I got in it, and suddenly everyone quit.
But was it still the little banana boards?
Kind of. It was starting. The whole Dogtown era had come into play,
right.
So there were skating pools, and it was more of a movement and a style.
Yeah.
And I saw my first experience at a skate park was Oasis Skate Park right here in San Diego. Yes. And I literally saw people flying out of these empty swimming pools, and that was my moment. That was
You're
my
like,
epiphany.
Yes,
I want to fly like those guys.
So when you were a kid and you first decided, this is for me, I want to be part of this skateboarding scene or figure out how to do it on my own, how did your parents initially react? Were they like, yeah?
I got lucky. I was the youngest of four, and my dad was in the Navy. He'd retired. And he had been through so much with my siblings through the 70s that it was like, just keep him busy, whatever he's happy doing. Most of my friends, their parents didn't want him skating.
Right.
You know, in the early 80s, it was considered more of a negative influence on kids. And so my dad was the sort of den father of and giving everyone rides to the skate park. He's the one who drove us all up to the skate parks in L.A. so we could go, you know, up to Reseda and Whittier and Upland. And it was pretty cool. Yeah.
So skateboarding is going to be in the 2020 Olympics. What are your thoughts?
I think it's an exciting opportunity for skateboarding to raise the awareness of skating for international recognition. There's a part of me that's cynical that thinks it's about time. You figured it out. Yeah. And that I feel like the Olympics needs skateboarding's cool factor more than skateboarding needs their validation. I mean, so I do feel like that, really. And maybe that's not the team player, you know.
So you still skate?
I do. I was skating today, actually. Yes.
People in their 30s drink a beer and they feel it 4 days later. when you fall now, are you extra careful?
I'm just like the same, more proactive in trying to get back to what I was doing. I used to take it for granted, you know, like that. Just
yeah.
Whatever, wake up late, get hurt. I'll skate again tomorrow, it'll be fine. And now it's like, oh, you're so old. I never really had to work at it like that, but now I get my neck worked on and stuff like that, and it feels more like traditional professional athlete sort of training, but I'm 50. What am I got to do it?
Yeah, no, that's great. So many are huge fans of your video game series. Tony Hawk Pro Skater was released in 1999.
We just released a game, Tony Hawk's Skate Jam, on mobile.
That's right. And so what's different about this one?
It's on mobile.
Yeah. Do you move the phone as you
don't? No, there's a lot of the similar controls. It's not with the same developers, but a lot of similar controls with the grind button, the air, and so I don't know. I'm good at it, but I can already see the scores people are posting. Like, ugh, I'm gonna start practicing some more.
And you still have the competitive thing in you, right? You look at those.
If you
scores.
Have a game with your name on it, you got to be a little on your you got to be
right.
On point.
Because everyone's going to want you to post your scores.
Or challenge you face-to-face.
Sure. You've won so many awards and prizes. Before you were 25 years old, you placed first in 73 out of 103 pro competition. That's first place in over 70% of the competitions you went into, only by 25.
Thank you.
But I read that you don't keep a lot of your awards or trophies.
I didn't. I was never one to, I don't know, I just didn't like resting all those accolades, and I would see pictures of people with all their trophies behind them, and it just looked obnoxious to me.
Yeah.
I also saw what joy it gave to people when I would hand them my trophies that I won.
You would just give them away?
Yeah. Yeah, that was way cooler.
Oh, wow. Yeah, fun. Absolutely. Yeah. Tony, are you ready for your Ask Me Another Challenge?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Do I have a choice?
Nope.
Okay.
Tony Hawk, please welcome and meet your opponent, Adam Lambert.
Wow. This isn't Queen trivia, is it?
This is, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
No, this is something that we've written for both of you. Adam, Tony, you're going to play one of our favorite guessing games called This, That, or the Other. It's simple. We're going to give you a word. You tell us which of three categories it belongs to. Jonathan Colton, what are today's categories?
Today's categories are skateboarding tricks.
Yes, please.
Songs performed by Adam Lambert. Or characters from the Tchaikovsky ballet, The Nutcracker.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go back and forth, so no need to ring in. Tony, Cuckoo, skateboard trick, Adam Lambert song, or Nutcracker character?
Oh, that's rough. I'm going to go with Adam Lambert song.
You are correct.
Yay! Yes.
Nice.
Thank you for writing that song, Adam.
Tony just revealed what level of Glambert he is. Yes, Adam performed that song on the show Pretty Little Liars,
yeah.
Where you dressed up. It was a Halloween episode, and you dressed up as a glampire.
Yes. You got it. You got all the terminology and everything.
That's right. Okay, Adam.
Yeah.
Madonna.
A skateboard trick?
Sure is. Wow. Sure is.
He answered in the form of a question.
What is skateboard trick?
It is, yes.
Tony, Cavalier.
Cavalier. I'm going to go with Nutcracker.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah.
Or I thought maybe a skateboard trick where you are just indifferent to everything.
Skating around,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Tricks.
Who cares? Adam, Dewdrop.
Nutcracker character.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Dang, I really wanted you to say skate trick.
These are your last clues. Tony, Sleepwalker. Skateboard trick, Adam Lambert song, or Nutcracker character?
I want it to be a skateboard trick, but I have to go with Adam Lambert's song.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we could collaborate, though.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Adam, Eggplant. Skateboard trick, Adam Lambert's song, or Nutcracker character?
It's also my favorite emoji, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get it.
Skateboard trick?
Yeah, that's right.
Yay!
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a tie.
Yay!
So you both did equally amazing. Thank you so much for indulging us and playing this great game. Everyone give it up for Tony Hawk and Adam Lambert.
Thank you.
It's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalist, Tyler Parthamer, who enjoys the game of life because, unlike real life, it gives you the chance to buy a house. And Angela Estes, who baked a wedding cake that looked like an overhead projector. Tyler, Angela, in honor of the holidays, your final round is called Family Gathering. Every answer will include a word for a family member or relative. Our big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Adam Lambert and Tony Hawk. We spun a dreidel backstage, and Tyler got Gimmel, so she's going first. Tyler, this timekeeping device, also known as a long case, can be 7.5 feet tall and has a pendulum inside.
Grandfather clock.
That is correct. Angela, this tart green fruit is named after the woman who originally cultivated it in Australia. It's often baked into pies. 3 seconds. We're looking for Granny Smith apples. Tyler, this term refers to the location of a computer's central processing unit.
The hub.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. We were looking for motherboard. Angela, this 90s sitcom starring Tia and Tamara Mowry was about two twins separated at birth and reunited 14 years later.
Sister, sister.
That is correct. Tyler, Juliana Margulies starred in this CBS drama that ran from 2009 to 2016.
The Good Wife?
That is correct. Angela, these lengthy-limbed arachnids are also known as cellar spiders or harvestmen.
Daddy Long Legs.
That is correct. Tyler, a 1961 congressional resolution honored a meatpacker from Troy, New York, as the inspiration for this patriotic character, though the legend is disputed. But he wants you for the U.S. Army.
Uncle Sam.
That is correct. Angela, go to the mall and you might be accosted by pretzel smells wafting from this business, named for the woman who co-founded it in Pennsylvania.
Aunt Emma?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. It's Auntie Anne's. We're at the halfway point. Tyler is in the lead, 3-2. Tyler, it's the sixth book published in the Chronicles of Narnia series, but its story takes place first chronologically. 3 seconds.
We're looking for the magician's nephew.
There he is.
Angela, Will Ferrell, and John C. Reilly star in this 2008 movie about middle-aged men who become roommates when their parents get married.
Stepbrothers.
That is correct. Tyler, this John Mayer song warns fathers that girls become lovers who turn into mothers.
Daughters.
That's correct. Angela, in this 2015 single, Meghan Trainor lays down the rules for her hypothetical spouse.
Mama says something.
Good guess. We were looking for dear future husband. Tyler, Minneapolis and St. Paul are collectively known as this.
The Twin Cities.
That is correct. Okay, here's the situation. Tyler is in the lead, 5-3. Angela, if you get this question wrong, Tyler wins. Angela, Mount Holyoke, Vassar, Wellesley, Smith, Radcliffe, Bryn Mawr, and Barnard are collectively known as these colleges.
Seven Sisters.
That is correct. The score is 5-4. Tyler, if you get this right, you win. Tyler, California Dreamin' and Monday Monday are two of this music group's biggest hits.
The Mamas and the Papas.
That is correct. Great game. Great final round. Angela, amazing. Thank you. And congratulations, Tyler. That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Kimila Franklin, James Greenberg, Ruth Morrison, and senior writer Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. Ask Me Another's produced by Mike Katzeff, Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Edward Wyckoff-Williams, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Alexis Stromer, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Bill Moss and Valve Tone Recordings. We'd like to thank San Diego and the Balboa Theater.
Elaborate Bath.
KPBS.
Bespik.
And our production partner, WNYC. I'm Haripe Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, happy to hear you're still listening. And since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We love to hear from you, and it helps others find out about our show. For additional information about new episodes, upcoming live shows, road shows, and bonus games, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks. Next time on Ask Me Another, actor Melissa Joan Hart tells us what she didn't do in her directorial debut of the thriller The Watcher in the Woods.
So Angelica Houston stars in Watcher in the Woods. I'm not going to direct Angelica Houston. That's just ridiculous. Like, what? So, you know, you let her be Angelica Houston.
Join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Stearns & Foster. Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted for irresistible comfort, with indulgent memory foam and ultra-conforming IntelliCoils for your most comfortable sleep. Learn more at stearnsandfoster.com.
In any great story, there's a moment that sparks your curiosity. It tells you there is more to uncover.
How did this happen? How did we get here?
That's where Embedded comes in. We are NPR's home for documentary journalism. Immersive and intimate stories.
I was stone cold speechless.
Nothing will ever, 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 ever be the same here.
Find Embedded wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me isn't just jokes about the week's news. It's also life hacks. For example, here's actor Karen Allen revealing how she got her starring role in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
They said, how well can you spit? And I just found it coming out of my mouth. I said, oh, I can hawk him with the best.
I'm Peter Sagal. If you want to increase your self-confidence, then listen to the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me podcast from NPR.